as I discussed, there are a lot of problems at Harvard that I really did want to try to solve. And the first of these was that there was nowhere to get the accurate class information. The second was buying and selling textbooks. And then the third was that for picking your classes for the next semester, there was really no good way to do it, because the way it works now is you have a week at the beginning of each semester to go to all the classes you think you might want to take, and it's called shopping period. And during shopping period, you can see, you know, if you like the professor, if there's too much on the syllabus, too many papers, too many problem sets. And the administration was thinking that this was just too hectic for the professors and planning who to hire and everything. So they came up with this idea of pre-registration. And the idea was that you would choose your courses, and many schools do this, the semester before, and that way they'd have accurate numbers for everything that they needed to plan on, where to put rooms and everything. Space is very short. The students hated this idea, and they wanted to keep their shopping period. And I thought, well, this is sort of ridiculous, because you could just do it electronically. You don't have to bind students to their course, and you can just get a survey of who thinks they're going to take what for the next semester. So I suggested this to an administrator. The email I got back was, I appreciate the solution you proposed, but I'm not sure where it fits. We're not proposing an online system at all. And in fact, upgrading technology for a system that doesn't plan to use it at all is putting the cart before the horse. So you can see that the Harvard administration is not exactly up to speed when it comes to implementing technological solutions. Here's our main menu. Harvard Yard is the one I'll show you. They're actually all the same. They just have different photographs, basically. Assuming the internet works, you have to be able to see this. So yeah, here's the Harvard Yard site. Basically, you've got all of these things that we've tried to integrate in there. I'm not sure if we can get the focus any better, but so FaceNet is the newest feature. It's a social networking function, much like Friendster. The Facebook.com is the latest rage at Harvard, and it's just another social networking site. Student Exchange and Critical Mass you know about already. There's a centralized jobs database, a message board where students can talk to each other, and a center for posters. The different features are pretty heavily integrated. So, for example, if you review a course on Critical Mass, you can see which textbooks are available for that course that people are willing to buy and sell. So I guess we'll start with Critical Mass. That was the first part of the site. Here you've got your departments in the university. And these are all stored in a MySQL database, of course. So there are clearly many, many departments. You can see the top 10 courses is rated by students and the bottom 10 courses. This XPOS 20 is the mandatory writing course, which everybody hates. Somehow it's also number 3 in the top 10. So people are a bit split about their opinions, it seems. I actually don't know anyone personally who likes Chem 20, but apparently somebody does. And so, you know, you've got this sort of not so perfect statistical algorithm to rank the different courses. Also, the thing that showed up in the Flash introduction was building your shopping list. And this is a big deal because, as I said, shopping period was very controversial, very difficult for the administration to get a grasp of, and also hard for the students. And so what this lets you do is you can click on Edit Your Shopping List, and you can choose, okay, so this is poking a little bit of fun at Harvard. This is actually sort of what the form looks like, by the way, when you pick your courses, although without that number. You can choose, you know, which courses you want to shop. So if I want to shop, you know, biology 50 and biophysics for some reason and a couple of these, you've got all your courses for spring 2004. I'm an econ major, so I know what some of these are. I'm actually taking 1420. So then you can hit save, and it'll add all of these to a table that's separate from the table of courses of what you're shopping. So here's Martin Feldstein. This is my class, which nobody's rated yet. And then once you've got all your courses in there, you can look at them in this sort of list format, or you can look at them in a calendar format where it highlights the conflicts in red. So you can see that on Tuesday at 10 and 11, you're going to have some problems taking 10-10B and 10-11B at the same time. And then the best part is that you could print this out. So you could actually go to all your courses just, you know, hitting this button and look where you have to go next. Or you could just click on a course to see more details about that. I wonder if anybody just rated BS50. It's a pretty popular course. So here you can see somebody put it in their favorite list, and they can put their name up here anonymously. So you can see what this person says. It's a great class. Turn me on to biology and genetics all over again, which implies that they liked it before, which is good. And then on the other hand, you've got your blacklist, where somebody is saying, also anonymously, boring as hell, stupid labs and projects, but at least it was easy. So you can get a pretty good idea of what students think about your courses this way. And then if you're going to take the course, the best part is that you know who has the textbooks already. You don't have to go to the bookstore and pay them $100 for a book that this person, Anthony Griffiths, is willing to sell. Or no, I guess that's the author. Wahid Gardezi is selling for $50. So this is integrated now with Student Exchange. On Student Exchange, there's a lot more than just textbooks now. You've also got book requests. So this is people who already have books. This is people who want books. Items. You can put up your CD collection and see if you want to borrow a CD from someone. It's actually the only legal way of music sharing, aside from iTunes, that I know about. Same thing with DVDs, if you want to watch a movie. There's actually no Blockbuster, I'm not sure what they have in Montreal, for movie rentals, but there's nowhere to rent movies at Harvard, so this is actually quite convenient to know what people have. And then if you want to get a ride somewhere, I believe somebody's going to Montreal from Boston. It's not me, it's a friend of mine. But if you want to catch a ride with somebody, you can put up the request there, and you can see who's going where, so you don't have to get a taxi or whatever. So Student Exchange is pretty useful. Let's see. I'll show you what I think is the least useful but probably most fun part of House System, which is the FaceNet feature. So here's my profile. You can see people's phone number, email, website. I don't have a cell phone. I'm one of the probably two people at Harvard who don't, but if you do, you can see that as well. It's an advantage over the official Facebook because they only have, you know, official information, not cell phones, not AIM profiles, not websites. And then you can also have your group of friends here. So here's some of my roommates and my friends. And then you can click on any one of them, like Sabil, for example, and you can see who their friends are. So it's just a conventional social networking site. And you can also see if they have things on Critical Mass or Student Exchange. So if you want to know what courses your friends are taking or what CDs they have to borrow, you can just click right through and find that out. Something else that's sort of fun, this has been causing me a lot of problem as a programmer, you can see the photographs change on the homepage every time. You can draw your network in PDF format. This is based on a program called GraphViz from AT&T Research, which takes a specified formatted list in a what's called a DOT file, and it will use graph theory, presumably, to generate a nice-looking graph. And so here we've got, which isn't really such a nice-looking graph, you've got a couple of things overlapping here. The reason for that is there's actually a feature called scale, which if you implement it on this particular model of server, and I have two of them, so I've tested it, it actually crashes the entire server and makes it reboot. So we've disabled that feature for now. But AT&T apparently is working on it, and hopefully these will be nice and spaced out. But you can actually, you know, there are hyperlinks in the PDF, so if you want to click through and see somebody, you can just click on that person and it'll take them back to their profile. So that's sort of fun. What other things do we have here? The jobs database. Right now I'm logged in as a student. I am a student, so it makes sense. We don't have a whole lot of jobs, but we just enabled an alumni login. So if there are Harvard alums who want to sign up for House System and put in their employer information, they can post job listings, and then students can upload their resumes so they can get matched with jobs. So if I want to be an area marketing manager for energy brands, I have no idea. You can see what that job is all about. Actually, I posted that one, which is why I can edit it. Normally, you can't edit other people's jobs. See if I can find one that I did not post on behalf of someone. Here we go. So Katzenbach Partners, you can see if it's off campus, how much they pay you, apparently nothing. If it's a summer job, all that kind of information. And then I'll sign out here and sign in as an alum so you can see their side of it. So now I'm signed in, assuming I type the password, is the Harvard College SEC account, which is set up as an alum right now. When they go to jobs, they see not just the job listings, but their own and then student resumes. So if I want to see my own resumes on here, you know, you can click on the PDF file, and then they can find out if that student's a good match for their position. Let's see, the last part, well, actually not the last part, there's two parts left. Message board is pretty self-explanatory. You've got different boards for different places. different topic areas. Let's see what people are saying about food. So we've got somebody saying food is good. It's a pretty in-depth discussion so far, as you can see. And then there's a posters area. And this is actually, in my opinion, a big deal because there are about 300 student groups at Harvard right now. And there's only so much space in Harvard Yard where they can put up posters. And each group, you have to guess, has more than one poster, maybe five at a time. And so there are posters everywhere. And now what you can do, and the other problem is that it's often 20 degrees at Cambridge, and especially at 7 in the morning when you're supposed to put up these posters. So nobody wants to wake up at 8 in the morning when it's that cold and go and put up posters and freeze to death. So now you can just upload a poster in Word document format, PDF, or JPEG, and then you can see, you know, what that poster looks like in a bigger version. So they just had a concert. And the next thing that we'll be doing soon is linking this to their student group. So student groups have a center where they can type in information about their group, have a discussion board, things like that. So I guess I think you probably have a pretty good idea now of what the site actually does. It's basically supposed to be a portal, but one that's actually useful. If you haven't signed in before, I've obviously signed in quite a few times, but it gives you a to-do list of all the things you can do in case you're not familiar. Oh, one other feature I might as well tell you about is the calendar, which is sort of fun because it integrates into the official Harvard map. So this is a site we don't have any control over, but which does have a nice bug, which is that if you search for spacebar, it'll show you everything in their database. So we searched for spacebar, pulled out their database, put it into our own, and now if you're having a production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at the Loeb Drama Center and you have no idea where that is, which I don't, you can click on that image and find out exactly where the Loeb Drama Center is, and it's right there. So we've been able to link events in our calendar to the Harvard map so you actually know where to go. You can also RSVP for events, and then if you're the person who posted it, you can see who's planning on attending. Because it's a PHP conference, I will show you some of the source code for at least one of the pages. I think the most basic page, which illustrates what Lampshade can do, Lampshade again is the API behind all of this that my company has written, I'll show you the code for the books page. So basically, on a conceptual level, the way this works is that you've got your HTML template at the top, you've got the table in the middle, sort of like a sandwich of content, and then you've got a template on the bottom. So the goal, of course, is to make this as simple to do as possible. And as you can see, you've got a lot of templates on the top. There are include files and our document templates. We have a couple of lines. This actually could be condensed to one. But this is so that if you're not already logged into the site, this security function all at once figures out if you're logged in, if you want to log in, what's the correct database to go to, authenticates you against the database, make sure you have a session set up, and returns an array into security, which contains your permissions. So if you have add permission, update permission, read permission, and delete permission. And then you've got these gigantic arrays, some of which have arrays within the array. And this is the table of books that you saw, and this is the form that will show up if you click on a book. And then once those are specified, this is the entire page. You've got your templates down here at the bottom, and then the conditional page layout is what happens based on various conditions. If the user clicks on save, you want to submit the data to the database and then display the table again. If they click on delete somewhere in the table, and we have some nice JavaScript set up here so that, I don't know if you can see the arrows. Oh, no, the arrows aren't on this table. Well, on some tables, there are arrows on the sides, and then at the bottom, there's a button where you can hit delete. Actually, if I sign out and show you some of the administrative functions, you'll be able to see that better. In addition to there being an alumni security level, there's also sort of an administrator security level for the students who are running this club. And they have this little mission control icon at the top. And you can see site statistics. These are automated cron jobs that are running every so often. So for example, on FaceNet, one of the ideas that we had was that on all these social networks, you type in your birthday. And that means all your friends are typing in their birthdays, which means that if you happen to be somebody who forgets when your friends' birthdays are, which I have that problem, we made it so you can automatically opt into an email reminder service. So 7 days before your friends have their birthday, you get an email saying, don't forget to give them a present, or say hello or something. So these are all cron jobs. And then on the members tab here, you can see the arrows I'm talking about. So you can select various people to do horrible things to, and then down here you can delete them or cancel their membership. There's also another example on Student Exchange. If you want to mark some of your books as sold, you can arrow those books, and then they turn green if you go to sold, or red if you want to delete them. So that's going back to here. That's what that table button is. These buttons at the bottom here are considered table buttons. And then if you want to delete a specific item on a page, that's all this get delete stuff. If you have an ID for a book, then you want to display that book's form. If you want to add a book, you want to actually display the same form, but without any specified ID, so the form actually just shows up blank. And then the default case is that you just want to show the table so they can know where to navigate. So what I think is really cool is that this really isn't that much code for making a page as complicated as the books page. So going back to that page, or page before it, you can see, so here's your table again. You click on any book, and then you get this form showing up, which the form function handles based on that huge array that you specify. And so this is actually contained in a separate file, which we use the extension .form.php. So here's index.html. We have Apache parsing HTML files as PHP, so people can't really tell what system we're using unless they go to Netcraft. If you go to the form file, you can see it's basically just a lot of HTML. Though there are some time savers thanks to Lampshade, such as the text box function. So instead of typing in for each new row, tr, td, input type, /td, td, and then all this other junk, you can just do text box. You tell it the name of the box, how big you want it to be, the value if there is one, and the thing that shows up on the left side to describe it. So title is this title here. And same thing for other kinds of boxes. For drop-down box, you've got the name. And then there are two options here. You can have an array of predefined choices, like first edition, second edition, third edition. If I add a book, you should be able to see that. It takes a while, because it has to list all like 6,000 classes or whatever in this course box, so you can associate it with the critical mass course. But you can see when it shows up, the edition will show up in this NA box here. Mozilla ever gets around to it. I won't wait for that. So you've also got a couple of things. I haven't really gone through and changed all the hidden boxes to one of these easy functions, but you can see what the HTML would look like if you didn't use them every single time. You've also got radio buttons. These are all different form controls, a text area box. So this is all just plain outputting the information. If you don't own the book, you don't want to be able to edit it, so this is just showing you the information without giving you any control over it. And then this block of weird-looking code here is sort of an average price calculator, so that we have people typing in the ISBNs for their books right here. So if I type in, you know, all sevens, and it finds another book in the database that matches that ISBN, it'll compute the average price for the book and compare it to the price that you're looking at right at the moment, so you can see if your seller is trying to overcharge you or undercharge you. You can get a good gauge of how much you're actually supposed to pay. And so this is figuring all that out with a query to the database here, select, and it's replacing the dashes in the ISBN, and then figuring out the average price, all of that information. And I think that's pretty much it. If there's a memo for the book, it displays that. And then at the bottom here, you've got your options with your buttons. So again, instead of typing in an entire string of HTML for the save button, you can just tell it button, save, and then specify how many pixels wide and high it should be. And that only shows up if it's supposed to. So if I go to books again, and let's see if I can find one that I didn't put on here, like this one, I should not be able to save this, and as you can see, it displays a different button, which is okay. So let's see. I think that's a pretty good overview of the code. As far as the future plans for House System, right now what we're thinking of is taking the calendar you saw in Critical Mass for the shopping period scheduler, and we'd like to use that to solve a problem which is really, really big at Harvard, which is room reservations. As I mentioned, Harvard is really widely distributed. It's very decentralized. And so there's no one place you can go to say, I want to reserve Lowell Lecture Hall at 4 o'clock on Sunday and know that somebody else isn't already using that. There are probably, I would guess, 12 to 15 different offices right now that control the various buildings at Harvard. And it really doesn't have to be so complicated. What we'll be able to do is make a table of all the rooms available at Harvard. And not just that, because this would step on people's toes politically, we'll be able to make a database of all of the different administrators who are able to administer those rooms and say, look, here's a system where all the rooms are in one place. You still have control over your own domain, but you'll be able to make a weekly view for each room and say, you know, this room is available at this time, and then have students or staff members who want to reserve them put them into a queue for people to approve. And setting up such a queue is very easy using this kind of technology, because what you can do is just make one of those tables I was showing you with the arrows on the side. So if somebody signs up for FaceNet and we want to make sure they're not posting pornography or just random things on there, as you know, students are sometimes prone to do, like this guy who just put a picture of trees, we can say, okay, that one we want to approve or not approve, and at the bottom there. So, you know, we can do the same thing, minus the photographs, for the room reservation system. And it doesn't take very long at all, because it's just updating a flag in the database, and all of the actual queries are being written for us. We don't have to do a whole lot of insert, update, this kind of stuff. Something else we'd like to do, and I've been trying to get time to do this since August, and I just never got around to it, is this packages here. When you're a student and you get a package, your house superintendent is the one who actually receives it, and then they send you an email notifying you. I thought it would be really great if you could have all of your incoming information in one place on the portal, so you have your email here and your packages here. So we'll make that same kind of queue system for them, so you can say, well, you don't have permission to add any packages, or something like that. We will be getting around to making the photo album feature over here actually work. Right now, I think there's a picture of the sun from NASA, which is somehow green. But what we'll be able to do is make the students who are going on FaceNet upload their own custom photo album. But so the obvious problem for this is that if you've got 6,000 students potentially using this and they all want to upload like 50 megabytes of photographs, there's no way we want to provide all of the bandwidth and the disk space for them to do that. So what we'll do is we'll have them type in the URL of the photograph, which is already on some other server. We'll be able to fetch that, get the image size from it, and just ignore the actual JPEG data itself, so that we can use, if you look at the source of this page, I believe we're just, for the image tag, instead of having an absolute path on our server, we'll just have the relative path to the other server where we can just display the image without actually storing it. And then there also need to be some administrative content management type features, because right now, if you go to the newsletter or the parties and alcohol policy, which I might add is one of the most frequently visited pages, even though there's nothing there, we want administrators to be able to update this without us intervening. And that shouldn't be too hard. It's a matter of getting a nice text area box with some features for them to update the database there. We've got the weather here coming from an XML file that gets parsed every, instead of being on an hourly basis to save the other server some trouble. If somebody visits House System after the beginning of the hour and the weather has not yet been refreshed, it's then sort of that user's thread's job to update the weather for the next hour. So this is pulling it from some XML file about Boston, Massachusetts, and it's actually fairly accurate. I'm not sure how warm it is here outside, but it looks like it's a pretty close match. So, oh, and then the last thing is the search box is sort of a multifaceted search box. The HSA unofficial guide is sort of a restaurant guide and just general information about Harvard that you might not know unless you already went there. So it gets distributed to everybody each year. So if I want to search for a Thai restaurant, I can say search for Thai in the unofficial guide, and I'll get a bunch of Thai restaurants right from there. And I can, you know, click on it and give them a call. If I want to search for let's see, if I want to search Google, I want to search the database of students at Harvard, I can also do that through that same box.